This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton. The real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, folks. Just a reminder, I will be broadcasting live from the National Travel and Tourism Luncheon hosted by New Orleans & Company at the Hilton New Orleans Riverside on Thursday, and we'll celebrate tourism with a who's who in the hospitality industry and highlight how travel stimulates economic growth and inspires new businesses and truly improves the quality of life for us Americans and, most importantly, New Orleanians and throughout this metropolitan area. So get inspired. Join us at the New Orleans & Company's National Travel and Tourism Luncheon Thursday from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. right here on the Big 870 WWL. We are joined by Andy Copeland, President and CEO of the Greater New Orleans Foundation. They are the major impetus behind Give NOLA Day, which is today, folks, and he joins us. Andy, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Newell. It's great to be here, and happy Give NOLA Day to you and all of the listeners.
Thank you, sir. So tell us, if you would, for the benefit of the listening audience, kind of the history of Give NOLA Day and the part that you guys play and that with the Greater New Orleans Foundation and so many other not-for-profits.
Yeah, so about a dozen years ago, right when people were getting used to online shopping, the nonprofit community realized that there was an opportunity to enhance giving opportunities for folks to support nonprofits that have our backs and support our community through an online vehicle. So we started Give NOLA Day 12 years ago. That very first year, we raised $2 million, and it's been going ever since. Last year, we raised over $7 million. In the last dozen years, we've helped nonprofits raise $64.3 million. We're almost to $2.5 million today, and we're going strong until midnight tonight. And so givenola.org is the website. There's 1,010 nonprofits that are participating. And so these are everything from kind of grassroots organizations that are raising money to pay for supplies for a neighborhood event, to major nonprofits that you've heard of and that make a difference in all of our lives every single day, where this is the day that we ask everybody in the community, give $10, give $100, give what you can to support these nonprofits. Everybody can be a philanthropist on Give NOLA Day. And so it's like online shopping. Go to givenola.org, find the nonprofits that you care about, put a donation in there, add them to your cart, go find a couple more, and give as generously as you can before midnight tonight. And last year we had over 50,000 separate donations. So this is not one person who makes a $100,000 gift. This is a lot of folks making $10, $50, $100, $500 gifts that power the nonprofits of our community. And again, they have our backs 365 days of the year, and this is our day to turn around and show our support to them.
And it could be fun, right? I mean, you can go on. Let's say you have $100. You want to give $100, and you want 10 charities at $10 a piece. You go through the list. You figure out where you want to have some input and have some skin in the game.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and again, we've got arts and culture. We've got after school programs, youth development, recreation, environment, public safety. You name it. Newell, this is usually the hour that you and Michael Heck talk about economic development. So I looked at, the Algiers Economic Development Foundation, Propeller, JEDCO, the St. Bernard Economic Development Foundation, the Idea Village, the New Orleans Chamber, the Hispanic Chamber, are just some of the economic development organizations that are participating in Give NOLA Day this year.
Yeah, and if you would, for the benefit of the listening audience, describe why the not-for-profit community is important. I mean, I try to talk about this a lot, that government doesn't have the assets and resources to do all that needs to be done in a community. It's just not there, right? It's yeah. It's an unpleasant truth, a sad reality.
That's right.
So others fill in, right?
That's exactly right. And again, it's all different types of things. You know, some people are very compelled by the work of the, you know, animal support organizations, whether it's the SPCA or the Humane Society or Zeus's Place or Animal Rescue of New Orleans. All of these groups are raising money on Give Mel a Day. Or it's folks who are, you know, helping provide homeless services, you know, whether that's the Mission, whether it's Unity, whether it's Grace at the Green Light. These are all organizations that help our homeless brothers and sisters. Of course, the Second Harvest Food Bank and lots of the different food pantries that help with supporting folks so that they have the food to you know, help feed their bellies and raise healthy kids who are able to be successful in school. Speaking of schools, there are lots of schools involved. There are lots of after-school programs, mentoring programs like Silverback Society and Son of a Saint. You know, these are just a lot of the organizations that participate. And it's where we harness volunteer efforts. You know, nonprofits usually stretch the dollar further than anybody else that we know, because not only are they, you know, spending it as efficiently as they can, but they're usually getting volunteers who are help, you know, adding value. And again, when we're talking about, you know, human beings and helping nurture strong, successful kids, it's not the dollars that matter. It's the heart and the, you know, relationship building that you know, our friends and neighbors are doing. So you've probably seen nonprofits in your lives, and all the folks listening can think about, oh, this is a group that made a difference in the care of my, you know, neighbor or my child or my, you know, church group, whatever it is. We ask people on Give It All Day, think about those people who've made a difference or you've seen making a difference. And it's a, you know, attaboy, attagirl, keep it up. Here's $100. Here's $50. Whatever we can, you know, add it to your cart at givenola.org. Give often, give generously. Think about some nonprofits that you haven't supported before who you'd like to get to know better. Each of the organizations participating has got a biography of what they do up on the website that tells a little bit more about their mission. And again, as you noted, you know, the first people to respond after disaster, you know, usually are nonprofit providers. They get their, you know, there's first responders from the government, but kind of the food services and the housing support, that's often in the first days after a disaster done through the nonprofit community. And those nonprofits have to have the resources so that they can be well positioned to help us in a moment of need. And so I guess everybody, if we think a little bit, we can think of a nonprofit that's making a difference right here in our community that we see every day and probably don't think twice about, but today's the day to think twice about them and to give.
And some of the benefits of giving today, I know one is you go to one website, you develop a cart, you can go down the checklist, you have over 1,000 not-for-profits that you can give to. Y'all make it real easy. It would otherwise,
if you wanted to
give to 10 or 12 or 15 different organizations, you'd have to go to 10, 12 or 15 different websites, right? Here, right. You go to one website, you can handle all your business in a matter of minutes. So it's a great day to do it on Give NOLA Day.
Yeah. People are, you know, we have opportunities to spend money every day on wonderful businesses in our community, and lots of them have online access points, you know, whether we're ordering dinner, you know, or something else. Give NOLA Day is the day we try to call people's attention and hearts to the caring group, the helping group, the folks who are there every day making a difference. And so we want to make it easy, but we want to make it fun. So every hour, a big, medium, and small nonprofit wins a $1,000 prize. At the end of the day, we divide up what we call the Lagniappe Fund, and everybody in South Louisiana knows what that is. It's a little something for extra, a little something extra for nothing. And our sponsors contribute. All the sponsorship money actually goes to support prizes in the Lagniappe Fund, and it stretches every gift. So whatever gift you make is going to go a little bit further because of our Lagniappe Fund. And that's thanks to folks like Baptist Community Ministers Ministries, who's our host sponsor. We are powered by Entergy. We have support from Ochsner Health, Delta Utilities, Verizon, and a number of other sponsors who help, again, keep the energy of Give Another Day going, give people an incentive to give a little bit more. There's winners for who gets the most money raised. There's prizes for who had the most individual donations. And so you can look at the nonprofits that you care about and see who's at the top of the leaderboard. So it's like the Kentucky Derby. Go see who's winning and see if you can help them out a little bit more.
And some of these, I guess it's safe to say, you correct me if I'm wrong, Andy, this day is the most important day for especially some of the smaller not-for-profits as to whether or not they hit their targets, right? Because this day is the lump for them.
Yeah. You know, there's a number of nonprofits who have integrated Give Another Day into their fundraising strategy for the year. You know, lots of nonprofits worry about end-of-year giving, right? And that's really important for folks to think about, who they're caring for and who they want to be generous to at the end of the year, especially at the holiday time. But nonprofits work every single day of the year. And so the reason we pick the first Tuesday in May every year to do this is to say, hey, this is a day, it's not yet Mother's Day, that's next weekend, right?
Right.
It's not yet Father's Day. It's not Easter, but it's an opportunity for us to say the nonprofits are important. This is a day that we can all choose to give as one community. Again, $64 million over the last dozen years, $7 million last year. You know, we're on our way to that. But it only happens because people grab their phone, go to givenola.org, find some nonprofits, and give generously. Go to their computer. You got until midnight, so don't forget. If you put a couple in now, you can come back later and add more. Give a second donation.
Andy, that's the
difference it makes.
I know that you communicate with your peers across the country. I'm often reminded by how giving our community is, and I was just kind of curious. Statistically, does that hold up?
Oh, absolutely. You know, there's been lots of national studies done, and I think that Southerners in the United States are among the most generous based on all the studies. Louisianians are among the most generous, and folks from the greater New Orleans region punch above our weight in almost everything that we do, and generosity is one of those things as well. So as a portion of income, we give away more of our incomes than almost anywhere else anywhere in the country. And of course, America invented philanthropy. And so it's this kind of mass giving. This is not something that we imported from Europe or got from, the Middle East or something. This is an American invention of mass charitable giving. It started really in World War I, but it's the kind of thing that we've been the best at in the world. And we raise money from people who've earned it the hard way, and they're giving their precious dollars to these nonprofits because they believe in the work that they're doing, and the work that they do will make our community stronger. And again, we always punch above our weight. People are always amaze me with their generosity, and this year is no exception. We can see the ticker on the givenola.org website. It keeps rolling as everybody makes another gift. And it just keeps rolling until we get to the as much funding as we can get for these nonprofits. We know it's a difficult time. I mean, there's a lot of uncertainty in the economy. And that's probably, for those of us who are able, we need to give what we can right now, because those nonprofits are also facing those uncertain times as well. We need them to be strong and ready to help.
You know, I remind people that are thinking about moving here, I said, you'll make more friends here in a month than you will probably in 8 months, 9 months, even a year somewhere else. But I said, even more important than that, we put our money where our mouth is. Being a friend is cheap. You don't have to put a lot. It's a time investment, right? It's just kind of a belief system. But we put money up. And that's one thing about this community. We never turn people away. And that's what I love about it. I mean, it's just amazing the amounts of money that are raised for those less fortunate than us. And it's amazing how many folks in the lower socioeconomic groups of our community give every year and how much they give of what little they have. And that's just a testament to this place and the mindset here.
Right. No, I think you said it. And Bill, from all of your experiences in life, so many of those folks. And as you know, one of the reasons we start giving at $10 on Give NOLA Day is because we believe every gift adds up, and we want to make it possible for anybody in our community to be able to give and to be part of this great day of giving. And folks of all walks of life, all income levels, are the ones who power Give NOLA Day. And, you know, those $10 gifts are the most common gift we get on Give NOLA Day. Almost a third of the gifts every year are $10 gifts. But that's what, you know, makes the difference. And again, if we can add a zero to that or a couple zeros, even better. But we just ask people to think about who's making a difference and to think about what they can do and to give as generously as they're able. Collectively, when we all do that, we all succeed for our community in building a better place. And again, there's no place like South Louisiana and greater New Orleans region to be able to see the best in human beings. And we've got the best, and today is the day we show it.
Absolutely. www.givenola.org. And one of the benefits, you get a little extra oomph on every dollar that you donate. So do it today before midnight this evening. Andy Copeland, thank you so much for joining us, President and CEO of the Greater New Orleans Foundation. Truly appreciate your time, your insight, and thank you for your participation in Give NOLA Day.
Thank you, Newell. Appreciate it.
All righty, folks. We will be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. When we come back, Michael Williamson, President and CEO of United Way Southeast Louisiana, and Jeannie Donovan. We're talking about a program that they're embarking on with Representative Matthew Willard. Stay with us. Folks, breaking news from the Homeland Security Chief, who's saying that if you don't have a Real ID compliant by tomorrow, you will still be able to travel for now, but likely with extra steps that you will have to take in order to prove, I guess, that you are who the ID says you are. No surprise here. This has been continued so many different times, and implementation canceled, restarted, and so forth. A lot of folks just aren't clued in, but hopefully you will heed our advice and get that Real ID done sooner rather than later. We are now joined by Michael Williamson, President and CEO of United Way Southeast Louisiana, and Jeannie Donovan, Deputy Director of Population Health and Disease Prevention with the New Orleans Health Department, talking about a new program relative to preventing minors from gaining access to loaded, unsecured firearms. I think it's also joined by Representative Matthew Willard. Folks, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having us.
So, Michael, let's jump to you first. If you would, give us some backdrop as to what this initiative is about.
So, yeah, today we're talking about the Child Access Prevention Law, which is House Bill 220 presented by Representative Matthew Willard. And it really addresses what you pointed out, Noel, is the need for measures to ensure that guns are safely locked and stored. As we've seen, and here's some startling figures, but between 2016 and 2023, Louisiana lost 52 children and another 702 children were injured as a result of preventable and unintentional shootings. So we're working to try to make sure that, you know, gun owners know how to properly secure and store their own firearms.
And how many were 52 children lost? How many were injured?
702. And due to just lack of safe storage, and I know you know this, Newell, and you know, being somebody who was raised in a home with guns, you know, secure and safe storage is paramount, something I think we can all agree is needed.
No, no doubt. And the construct of everyone's residence is different, and some offer more opportunities to do so, but some less. And they're readily accessible, and you have to recognize that. Jeannie, I know you guys at the New Orleans Health Department have had your finger on the pulse of this for a while. Y'all see the detrimental outcomes, obviously, of when these things happen.
Yeah, thank you, Newell. This is really a public health issue. And like Michael said, Louisiana actually has the highest rate of unintentional shootings by children in the nation. And you know, the New Orleans Health Department has been working on this issue, giving away free biometric gun safes across the community for the last couple of years. We distributed 3,000 biometric gun safes to gun owners in the city, and we know that, this distribution program is working. But we also know that these laws that actually require safe storage and create a, misdemeanor penalty if a gun is not safely stored and a child gains access to it, they actually help to drive down the rate of these unintentional shootings as well. So we see these programs of the gun safe giveaways paired with the law as the most effective way we can get Louisiana out of that number, that terrible number one spot.
So what is Representative Willard saying about the possibility of the passage of this? You know, we every time we talk about guns, we get a lot of quirky things happen to these bills, to be kind. You know, you just never know what path they're going to go down.
Yeah, well, we know that this type of law is on the books in Texas and in Florida, states that are very similar to Louisiana in their stances on firearms and firearm ownership. And we know that this type of law doesn't conflict with the Second Amendment or infringe upon it. It simply ensures that owners take reasonable precautions. And so we are to your question, we have a hearing scheduled for Thursday morning. And we are hopeful that our law enforcement partners, and we're actually working closely with NOPD on this, they're really pushing for this law so that it's clear when an incident like this happens that someone is held accountable. And we're hopeful that other law enforcement entities across the state will agree and support this measure.
What are there, about 27 states, so more than half, have a similar law on the books now?
That's correct.
Is that about right?
And like I said, it's not just coastal states or blue states. States are our friends in the South, Texas and Florida, have these laws on the books. And we can see in the data that they have far fewer per capita unintentional shootings and deaths of children. So we know these laws work.
Yeah, and coupled with education as well. And I know that both of you folks have been very proactive in that regard. Let's talk about that for a moment, if you would, Michael or Jeannie.
Yeah, well, you know, one thing I'd like to point out, because there's certainly, you know, the trauma that's created when we lose a young child unnecessarily due to, you know, access to a firearm that wasn't safely stored. But let's also think about, and this is around education, but the economic impact, you know, of, you know, preventing such tragedies. We know that unintentional shootings by children result in a significant medical and societal cost to the community. Think about just all the related costs. And so there's a strong argument for the economic impact of just, a law such as this, House Bill 220, which just ensures that, you know, residents, individuals know how to properly and have access to safe storage options. And so it also creates a safer, more vibrant community for all of us.
Yeah, no doubt. So this bill actually would create an offense that would be a misdemeanor if the firearm owner leaves a loaded firearm unsecured and a minor obtains that firearm and either causes or attempts to cause the injury or death of either themselves or any other person. So it's not like it's actually there has to be an outcome relative to the minor gaining access to the firearm, right?
Yeah, that's correct. And I want to be clear, too, that this bill is really about prevention. Yes, it does create a penalty, but we really create penalties to try to prevent things from happening. And I think that, you know, one example, comparative law is our seatbelt laws. The seatbelt law is not intended to single out or punish drivers. It's intended to keep them safe and promote seatbelt usage. So the focus really isn't necessarily on the penalty, but really on the preventive measure that this law puts in place. Yes, people who do not comply and a child gets access to a weapon and it goes off could be charged with a misdemeanor penalty. But our goal here is not to single out firearm owners or to punish them. It's really about prevention and awareness. And we know we create laws all the time in the state or increase penalties to try to deter certain behaviors. And this is what this law is attempting to do.
Yeah. Again, it seems to me, you know, this, We fight this notion of deterrence all the time, right? Where it's the fear of apprehension and the fear of detention in order to modify human conduct, and that's what prevention is all about. Really, is really just about modifying human conduct, right?
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah, and creating awareness. And there are instances that our New Orleans Police Department have raised to us where they are unable to secure a charge against somebody who has left their firearm unsecured recklessly, and a child has gotten access to it and had a minor injury. And they have said, we need a solution for this. But there will be cases where this law would create a penalty, but we also know that it will create awareness and prevent incidents like that from happening.
Ginny, are you guys still providing the biometric cases?
We are, yes, in partnership with Manning Family Children's Hospital and with Ubuntu Village. We are across the community at various community events. And I'd love for Michael to talk about our work. We're actively working to try to expand that outside of Orleans Parish.
Michael?
Yeah, that's right. No, we're actually pursuing, you know, federal community project or earmark support to expand the program, and which clearly the data shows is not only desperately needed, but welcome, because we show, like, the polls consistently show that the majority of Americans, including gun owners, support laws that require safe firearm storage around children. And this is a bipartisan issue, and it has bipartisan support. So it seems to only be logical. And we're proud to play a role to help, you know, move the legislation forward, but also educate the community around the benefits of safe firearm storage.
Yeah, absolutely. And if people want to, for more information about these biometric cases, where would they go, Jeannie?
Yeah, they can go to our health department website, and that will have updated information on how to actually request one directly. I will pull that up while we're talking and make sure we have the correct link for folks. And I'd also say, just for folks listening, you know, I mentioned that there is a hearing on Thursday for this bill in the House Criminal Justice Committee. If you'd like to talk to your legislator about support for this common sense bipartisan legislation, we'd encourage you to reach out to your member of the state legislature and request their support.
Yeah, and you can go online and, I think, give comments, too, if my memory serves me correct, you know, on these particular bills as well. So if you want to be heard on it, you certainly go through your legislator's office, or I think there's another means where you can do that, too. Final thoughts, folks?
I'll just say that, you know, oftentimes, you know, in these types of discussions, folks like wonder, where does this Connect Indiana Ways work? And, you know, with Southeast Louisiana, we believe that everybody deserves, you know, safe, vibrant communities. And we think this legislation not only will protect children, but will lead to kind of a safer environment for everybody. So we're honored to partner with the city and decided to move this legislation forward.
Yeah, absolutely. How about you, Jeannie?
No, I just thank you for having us on, Newell, and really, you know, look forward to having the conversation in the legislature on Thursday. And we appreciate all of the folks at home safely storing their weapons, regardless of what happens with the bill. And to reach out to us if you're in Orleans Parish and need a gun safe, that's the New Orleans Health Department website you can go to. So thank you.
Well, thank you guys for joining us. Michael Williamson, President and CEO of United Way Southeast Louisiana, and Jeannie Donovan, Deputy Director of Population Health and Disease Prevention with the New Orleans Health Department. We appreciate the time, the insight, and folks, have a great week.
Thanks,
Noah. You too. Thank you.
All right, folks, we'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line. Love to hear from you. We will be right back. Stay with us. You will recall that I have said that keep your eye on what's being talked about with Medicaid, because that is going to create pressure on our state budget. Because the Medicaid system originally intended was set up where the federal government provided about 60% of the funds and state government provided about 40. Well, most states today are paying less than 15% of the cost. You've heard me talk about these exotic financing schemes in Medicaid. And you're beginning to see more and more members of Congress talk about trying to move this program back to how it was originally intended to be financed. In other words, the state to have more skin in the game. As a result of Medicaid expansion, there have been a number of fundamental rules that have changed as well that created a heavier burden for the federal government as opposed to state government. And it seems as though there's a willingness to try and retreat from that position as well. It is one of those few buckets that you've heard with so many different economists that I've talked to of where there is opportunity for savings there to reduce the amount of the $36 trillion debt that we are facing. And our own Senator Cassidy talked about it on X the other day, and a number of other elected Congress folks are talking about it too, about what these costs actually are. And a lot of experts are saying that there really needs to be a revamping of Medicaid and moving back to the state, and it was intended to be a federal-state collaborative where the state moves back to their share that they have historically paid here and away from the federal government taking that on. I'll continue to report out on this. There are a number of different scenarios that are being presented. I think sooner rather than later, we're going to find out exactly where the Republicans are on this issue as the one great bill begins to reveal itself. We'll be right back, folks. Stay with us. Folks, don't forget to celebrate New Orleans' best local music with WWL and Odyssey New Orleans at the Young Leadership Council's Wednesday at the Square. Hopefully they're able to pull it off, weather permitting, this concert series at Lafayette Square. I've been. They are a blast. You really want to get out there. They have incredible artists, food, arts, crafts. It's free, open to the public. It's festival time, time to unwind. Just bring your chair. Sit down, relax, have fun, listen to great music. The Young Leadership Council just does a great job in setting this whole thing up. Tomorrow's actually the final concert in the series. And our own Teapot and Speedy from our sister station, B97, they're going to be there. They'll introduce the local favorites, Jordan Thibodeau at Les Rodailles with Bon Bon Vivant Friends, presented by Abita Brewing Company, the YLC, and WWL. So get out there and have some fun. And just a reminder that I will be with New Orleans and Company folks on Thursday from the Hilton Riverside. We're going to be broadcasting live for the National Travel and Tourism Luncheon hosted by New Orleans and Company. And we'll celebrate tourism with a who's who in the hospitality industry, and we'll highlight how the travel industry stimulates economic growth, inspires new businesses, and improves the quality of life for Americans and, of course, New Orleanians. So don't miss a special edition of the show at New Orleans and Company's National Travel and Tourism Luncheon Thursday, 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. right here on 870 WWL. Folks, when we return, we'll visit with Mark Krikorian, Executive Director of the Center for Immigration Studies. So stay with us. We will be right back.